Okay, imagine this. A Chinese billionaire lives in New York. Naturally, he owns a mansion and a yacht. He's politically wired to the Chinese Communist Party and hardcore conservatives in this country. And then he's arrested for financial fraud. And hours after he's taken, his penthouse apartment catches on fire, goes up in smoke. The billionaire is now in jail, held without bond, waiting for trial. And oh, by the way, he could be a double agent for China. Great spy novel. And you know what? It's a true story. To unravel all this, we have Michael Forsyth on the line. He's investigative reporter for the New York Times. Michael, hello.
Hi.
Wow, what a story. How do we begin? The man known as Guo Wengui is behind bars in Brooklyn, accused of bilking investors of more than $1 billion to support his cushy lifestyle. Just to understand what he's accused of, how did he get all this money from investors in the first place?
He came up with these schemes, selling shares in this media company, for example, that he set up called GTV, Guo TV, selling these concierge club memberships, selling, of course, you've got to have your cryptocurrency as well. A lot of people want to believe what he has to say, which is he's a man who can help bring down the Communist Party in China. He's a man that can expose the crimes of the Communist Party. He's a man that can help people trying to flee places like Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And so all told, around the world, not just in the United States, but around the world, thousands and thousands of people signed up and gave him, invested, we could call it, more than $1 billion. So it was quite a haul for him.
Guo is accused of several financial crimes, all along living it up in New York City. I mean, almost a decade ago now, Guo Wengui went to New York from China, where he was this real estate mogul, bought a Fifth Avenue penthouse for something like $68 million. What do we know about his lavish lifestyle in the States?
So I spent about 20 hours with Guo back in 2017 when he was really the biggest story, not only in New York, certainly in China, making some big waves, making some really striking accusations against some senior members of the Communist Party. So he bought this penthouse suite. It's got balconies on three sides, stunning views. I spent some time in there, and it is truly opulent, maybe much more tasteful, perhaps, than a Trump residence, but still really over the top.
And what I found a little crazy in the government charges against him is allegations that he had mattresses worth $36,000.
$36,000 mattress. That was news to me. I'd never heard of anything like that before. He had private planes. He had, you know, not only his penthouse, but he had what I could only describe as a castle in northern New Jersey, and then another big house in Connecticut. He had a yacht, the Lady May, worth tens of millions of dollars. Maseratis, Porsches, you know, Rolls Royces, the works.
All right, so let's go to this fire. Last month, FBI officials arrested Guo at his penthouse in New York, the Upper East Side, and hours later, his penthouse goes up in smoke while FBI officers are inside searching things. Let's take a listen to some coverage of this.
It took 150 firefighters about 2 hours to get the fire under control at the Sherry Netherland Hotel. Smoke billowing from the top floors. Home to billionaire and Chinese fugitive Ho Wan Kwok, who also goes by Miles Gua and Gua Wen Wei and several other aliases.
Some reports suggest Guo has burned evidence in the past and that his penthouse may have been set on fire remotely. Mike, what do we know?
You know, I am just as intrigued as you are, you know, about what may have gone up in flames. The FBI agents were actually there on the scene when the fire started. So it really is like a spy novel.
Yeah. Part of the story is, of course, Guo's business partners, notably Steve Bannon, political strategist for President Trump, charged with his own financial fraud, raising money to build a wall before being pardoned by then President Trump. When Bannon was arrested on those charges, he was on Guo Wengui's yacht. So they've done a lot of business together, and let's take a listen to a TV network the two men started where Bannon is hawking Guo Wengui's cryptocurrency products.
It's monumental. Remember, it's a new China, new Chinese, and now essentially new currency.
So they were selling crypto, and they were also on the air talking about overthrowing the Communist Party. Tell us about their broadcast, what they said on the air.
So this really kicked off in 2020. Bannon and Guo Wengui were out on his yacht, the Statue of Liberty in the background. and they proclaimed the formation of this new federal state of China. What exactly the government of the state was and the constitution that it was to have is somewhat ambiguous, but their goal was to overthrow the Communist Party. And Guo Wengui made very clear that Xi Jinping, the president of China now, has made a muck of it. He's created a nightmare in China, and his goal was to overthrow them. It's a very appealing message to thousands of especially overseas Chinese who may themselves have many reasons to hate the Communist Party. And to have somebody so wealthy, a very politically connected person back in China before he left, to have him have this message and teamed up with somebody who had such a senior position at the Trump administration was something else.
Just days before the election in 2020, Steve Bannon revealed Donald Trump's plan to declare victory no matter what the results, to promote this big lie. And there is audio, first released by Mother Jones magazine, of a private conversation where Bannon is talking to executives who work for Guo Wengui in this conversation. Let's take a listen.
If Trump is losing by 10 or 11 o'clock at night, it's going to be even crazier. He's going to sit right there and say they stole it.
So how did Guo Wengui, this Chinese billionaire, make his way into this Donald Trump, Steve Bannon orbit in the first place?
He can smell out power and influence, and he did so in China. He allied himself with a very, very powerful vice minister of state security and was able to really use those connections to increase his wealth, and it was a real estate empire he had. Coming over to the U.S., a couple years in, Trump was president, and he saw if he hitched his star to some of these people, it could help him in his effort to stay in the United States. He did apply for political asylum by allying himself with people like Bannon and Rudy Giuliani, other people like that. He hitched himself to the U.S. power structure. Now, why would they be interested in him? One reason is the money. Guo offered a new source of money. But he also had this message, this anti-communist message, anti-Chinese Communist Party message.
And yet, just to complicate things, or to make it more interesting, I don't know, there is this question of whether there's some spycraft going on. Guo Wengui has criticized, gone after Chinese dissidents in the United States, suggesting to some that he could actually be a double agent. He could actually be working for the Chinese Communist Party. So my head's spinning as I even kind of say that. Again, you spent many hours with Guo. How does he come across when you try to think about whose side he's on?
It's complicated. The Chinese government is complicated. And certainly there were factions in the government where he did have a strong relationship. So maybe, and again, you know, we're loath as a reporter to speculate, but certainly going after dissidents, and I mean, these are very well-respected dissidents, people who their integrity is pretty sterling. The idea that he would go after people like that, send paid people to their house to protest, call them CCP agents, yell at them, and this was going on around the country to dissidents in the United States. Certainly, you could draw the conclusion that he was doing the bidding of the party, but you know, you've got to also look at it in the context of the fact that he is really building this worldwide following of people, including many people inside China itself, from his anti-communist stance and his calls for a new government. It really strains credulity to think that the central government in China, you know, Xi Jinping and the Politburo there, considered this guy to be some sort of asset. Certainly, maybe at some point, part of the Chinese government, well, we know for certain that that was the case, you know, a few years ago, that he was involved, closely allied to the Ministry of State Security. But, you know, in 2023, that was a really tough call.
Yeah. So going forward, Guo is at a detention center in Brooklyn. To some, Guo is the most wanted man in China. So how do you think about when this trial gets underway, how it will be watched in the U.S. and how it will be watched in China?
So I would be really surprised if it got a lot of coverage in China, but the crimes that he did in the United States that he's accused of doing, fraud, are really parallel what the Chinese government accused him of doing before he left. But he certainly, with what the charges are up against him, he could face life behind bars in the United States.
And finally, Michael, anything you want to add about Guo the man, Guo and his situation now before we let you go?
I've never met anybody like him. I spent 8 years in China, most of that time as a reporter. And honestly, in some ways, Guo, who I actually met in Manhattan, was more frightening than anyone I ever met in China. And how do you describe him? Because on the surface, he's very charming, very affable, and intelligent. But there was this power about him and this manipulativeness about him. And you could see there was this also ruthlessness about him and an absolute reigning terror on people who crossed his path. He goes after his enemies fiercely, and yet he has this aura of charm about him. And I found that juxtaposition to be quite chilling. So it will be really interesting to see how this plays out in a trial.
Michael Forsyth is reporting on Guo Wengui, the Chinese billionaire, and his upcoming trial accused of financial fraud. Michael is investigative reporter for the New York Times. What a story. Michael, thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure, Scott.